this evening. Sorry. I don't have a huge amount to talk about, just a few thoughts before we're through for the night. I wanted to start the evening off with a question, though. I don't need a show of hands or actual answers. I just want you to think about the question with yourself in your mind and think about what your answer would be. Say you're out in public. Maybe you're out running errands or on your way to see someone. You're driving along and you come up to a stoplight and you see someone on the side of the road with a sign asking for money or help of some kind. What do you think in your head when you see this? While you consider that thought, I want to read some scripture and make a few points. And first, I want to read from Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." To put this verse into context a little bit, Jesus had just been asked what the greatest commandment of the law was. Of course, highest on the list is going to be our love for God. That's kind of a no-brainer. But Jesus didn't stop at the love for God. He added that there was another commandment like this one, to love your neighbor as yourself. The top two commandments of the law, according to Jesus, were to love God and to love your neighbor. Next, I want to read from Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" There's that verse again. "And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, or sorry, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down to that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." The lawyer here had an attitude that I think sadly a lot of people have fallen into today. He wanted a loophole out of the scenario of who his neighbor was. He would have been happy if Jesus had told him, "Well, your family is your neighbor, or your friends, or those who you like." But no, Jesus didn't give him the answer he was wanting. He gave him the answer he needed. Your neighbor is the one in need, your fellow man. No matter how great or small, even your enemy can be your neighbor. And sadly, a lot of people don't like to hear this information. Lastly, I want to read from Matthew 25. We're reading verses 31 through 46. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Here again, we see the reiteration and the combination of the philosophy of both of the former verses we read. We're to help those who are in need, and in doing so, we're pleasing the Lord. There's a common thread running between all of the verses that we've read so far, and one that has a couple sides to it. In all these scriptures, we're given an example of how to treat and take care of God's other creations. We're shown how we're to take care of our neighbors, or that we're to take care of our neighbors, to take care of the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. We're also shown who our neighbor is. Our neighbor is our fellow man. There isn't a distinction as to which man, but rather a very broad spectrum given. As much as you did to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. I just have one more point to this, and then my thoughts will be through, and we'll have the invitation song just after a few moments. Not once does the scripture ever make a distinction of feed the hungry only if they're worthy, or clothe the naked, but only if they actually deserve your help. We are told to simply help. A Christian isn't supposed to go through life with a cynical or jaded mindset of deciding whether someone is worthy of our help based on appearance or apparent reason of poverty, or deciding if there is a true need for help. That's the end of my thoughts on that subject for the night. They're ones that always have meaning and need, but they haven't specifically been on the point of salvation necessarily. But we don't ever want to leave here without giving an invitation to come to the Lord. There are five steps laid out to this process in the Bible. First, you must hear the gospel, Romans 10, 13, and 14. Second, you must believe what you have heard, John 8, 24. Third, you must repent of your sins, Acts 2, 38. Fourth, you must confess your faith that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, Romans 10, 9 through 10. And fifth, you must be baptized in water through Christ, Mark 16, 16. These are the actions you must take to be saved through the death of Christ. If you do these things and continue to live your life by his teaching faithfully, you can have the hope of being with him in glory and eternity. If anyone needs to be saved tonight, we can help you do this. If there are any here who have been saved but maybe have since fallen away from God, or maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation for something in your life that you need help with, whatever you need you may have, please, we urge you to come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.